Sure.
All right. Then I will call this Monday, June 11th, 2012, Planning Commission meeting to order. Kim, if you could take the roll for us, please.
Chairman Lutz.
I'm here.
Commissioner Demarest.
Here.
Commissioner Christensen.
Present.
Commissioner Rodlin.
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood.
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Here.
Thank you. This is the time in our meeting where we take comments from citizens on anything that is not on tonight's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to address the Planning Commission on any item that is not on tonight's agenda? All right, seeing no hands, we will move to the approval of minutes. Commissioners, we have three meetings with the minutes here. The first one is March 12, 2012. Any comments or corrections?
I'd make a motion to approve them as written.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Demarest, seconded by Commissioner Rodlin to approve the minutes as written. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Our next one, I believe, is March 19th, 2012. Commissioners, any comments or corrections?
I have one suggestion. Actually, I talked with the planning secretary before the meeting about the public hearing item. I think it could just be a little bit more specific in the title. Since the hearing was limited to the draft-phased environmental impact statement rather than the entire East Mineral Comprehensive Plan Amendment and rezone. And while it does get to that in the text of this section there, when I first read it, I thought, wait a minute, these minutes are really short for what we went through that night. So, Kim, I think you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That would be my suggestion.
Thank you, Dave. Commissioners, any other comments?
Talking about March 19th?
Correct,
yes.
My document says May 14th.
Turn it over.
Turn it over?
Yeah.
It's on the other side. It's either before or after, though. I'm not sure where.
Yeah.
All right.
That will be the next one we discuss.
I'd be willing to make the motion to approve the minutes as written with the one noted change with regard to the title of the public hearing on March 19th.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Motion made by Commissioner Demarest, seconded by Commissioner Sherwood. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And our final minutes are May 14th. Commissioners, any comments or corrections? I would entertain a motion to approve these minutes.
I'd make that motion to approve minutes May 14th as written.
Second.
All right, motion made by Commissioner Demarest, seconded by Commissioner Christensen, I believe. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. All right, the next item on our agenda is the public hearing for rezone RC 2012-02, the East Monroe Economic Development Group rezone. And Planning Manager Popelka will be handling this.
Okay.
I turn it over to you. Thank you.
Tonight's meeting is a public hearing for the East Monroe rezoning. I mean, the formal purpose of this is for the rezoning and not the comprehensive plan. But I'll give you a very quick overview and update. You'll have to tolerate my voice. It's a little growly because I have a cold, so I should be home. But I'll give a quick overview of the project. I think we're all pretty familiar with this. This is an image toward the east end of the church property, Highway 2 and the river toward the top of the slide. This would be toward the west end of the property, and you can see that there's kind of a half-shaped oval. And this is the property just east of town. You can see this map shows the critical areas along through here, the lighter colors, the dark green, and in the pictures you saw were essentially... What happened to my laser? There it is. Essentially, that dark green area is the potentially buildable, developable area for the church property, and the same for the Kreutz property further east after you subtract shoreline, wetlands, and buffers. The rezoning... What? Lost the picture. Searching. My power died here.
Oh, okay.
It's not recognizing.
Huh.
Odd.
Let's go back to this. Bear with me for 1 minute. Wizard, maybe I'm not.
That's why I don't use email.
So I have my kids help me.
You plug this there, Paul, into the back of the projector?
Yeah, it's good and tight. This is tight. The connection's good.
Something there.
Yeah, it looks like.
Oops.
Skinned or something.
1 minute. Should be back in business.
There we go.
Hey!
Stay. You stay. We may not be able to get this to work. I'm not sure what the problem is.
Yeah.
My computer is quit down here.
Something over the front.
This is the problem over here.
It's a year.
Is there power?
What's that? Okay.
Is this your
power? They don't want power.
It's a different that it's what?
Yeah.
I used to be a mentor until
it's really ground loaded up into the
slow left. I was like,
no, it's not going to work. Battery's low.
The battery from
this.
Oh, from that.
If I can get power to this.
Can you turn on these?
No.
Oh, it's fine.
Monitor. Or to the end of the projector.
This
the projector. Alright, we're going to switch computers here real quick. So, while we're doing this, I say tonight we're here to talk about rezoning. And I'll tell you what's happening and what has happened with the comp plan. The council, back on May 1st, approved on first reading the comprehensive plan amendments, three of them, including East Monroe. And actually, there is a public hearing with the council next week on Tuesday, June 19th, for a public hearing on the comp plan text amendments. If you recall, there were a number of changes to the text of the land use chapter regarding East Monroe and North Kelsey, and to a smaller extent, the airport. But if I get the slideshow back, we'll go through a couple of these images fairly quickly. But tonight, we're focused on rezoning. The commission did meet last month, and we had a workshop on this. And this is being done on the basis of ensuring consistency between the comp plan and zoning. Because at this point, the comp plan has gone through the first of a couple of steps to be approved, and it seems to be on track to be approved by council. And in that case, state law requires that the city zone to match the comp plan. It doesn't mandate when. We had this issue with Roosevelt Road earlier this year. It doesn't mandate that it has to be done within 30 days or 6 months or any length of time. Although, if action is not taken in a reasonable amount of time, someone could protest that and take it to the state, which would basically force the state or the city to take action. But in this case, the rezoning is being considered so that if the comp plan passes at its second and final reading with council on July 10th, tentatively July 10th, the rezoning would also be voted on at that same meeting. They would be simultaneous. Let's see.
For that in law, and you referred to the Roosevelt Ridge property or Roosevelt Road property as an example of that. You say that if we didn't do anything, there could be a problem down the road, but if we didn't act on it, couldn't the applicant just come forward at some point and say, we want you to act on it? And then get it back on the schedule, because rezones can be done any time of year, can they not?
They can.
Okay.
They can.
Thank you.
We're trying to basically follow a policy of considering comp plans and rezones together where the zoning comes into play somewhere during the process of the comp plan review, so that we don't come back and start from scratch with the rezoning. But of course, that rezoning is contingent on comp plan approval. A couple other points I wanted to raise. One is that the environmental impact statement has been appealed, and there is a hearing before the city hearing examiner on July 19th to consider whether that environmental impact statement was inadequate. Now, that does not have any bearing on approval of the comp plan. There are actually two separate issues, so the city does not necessarily have to wait take final action on the comp plan for that EIS to be resolved.
But the other point I want to make is that we did receive two letters from the citizens, one from Lowell Anderson, and who's here tonight, and Jeff Rogers, and another letter from Ken Gass. We do have copies of those for your information.
So, Paul, if I may ask a question on that. So then, if it is determined that it wasn't sufficient or whatever would be the ruling on that, you say it doesn't affect the comp plan amendment, I'm guessing, process. What happens if it is ruled that it was insufficient?
I believe it would have to be revised and run through the process again before it's finally issued again in its final form. It could involve a rewrite of portions of the environmental impact statement.
Okay.
To address the issues of potential issues of inadequacy.
And then would that come back to us and kind of restart that process of the comprehensive plan amendment, or is it?
No, that's a.
It seems like there's a disconnect.
A separate at that point, the administrative staff function after it comes out of the hearing examiner. It doesn't come back to the commission or the council. That's what I understand.
That's interesting. Sorry, Dave.
Sorry, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. So,
taking that just a little bit further, because I'm a little confused too. If this Paul Luke says it were found to be lacking in some way, does the process of that challenge to the phase EIS put the comp plan amendment and rezone on hold in any way? Or could someone literally get that rezone approved, come in with an application while the hearing examiner was putting the environmental review through the process and get vested under at that time before a determination even came out?
The council can take action on the comp plan and the rezoning without final resolve of the environmental impact statement. And that will be basically decided on July 19th with the hearing examiner. But they are two separate actions. And I questioned that initially by myself, that whether there was some relation between the two in terms of approval and final action. But there is not. There are two separate processes independent of each other.
Because you say the hearing center is going to hear it on the 19th.
Right.
He probably won't render a decision for 2 weeks, 15 days?
I believe it's 10 days.
10 working days, probably.
So
2 weeks. It does seem strange that this could all be approved and in place and rezoned and open for applications, only to find that the inadequacy or an inadequacy of the environmental review was identified.
Well, I think the issue really is whether it is inadequate at this point in the project, in this phase of the process, the EIS. I think the issue is whether this initial EIS was adequate in the kinds of issues it addressed, or the potential adverse impacts and potential mitigations, whether they were adequately addressed. I don't think it materially changes the result. Excuse me. The result of the usefulness of the EIS. In any zoning application, it's going to take several months, if not longer, or any development application. It's going to take months, years, just to initiate a development review for a specific project would require a fairly complete set of development plans and so forth. So I don't see action taking place anytime soon, but nonetheless, the EIS has to be supplemented with any specific project application. What we have now is just a starting point. It's a phased EIS. It raises questions, but it doesn't go into any detail, and it doesn't address how they're to be solved, what the extent of the impacts are. So I personally have a concern that the cart's going to get ahead of the horse in terms of the dealing with environmental impact versus development. But it is odd that they are separate processes. And in fact, you know, in the past, we've not done environmental impact statements at this stage of the review. I think it's a good idea to do so. But in the past, I don't believe it's been done until it actually got to a project point.
North Kelsey.
Was that done as a part of the full EIS?
The subarea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have another question then, because it's piggybacks on the deal. To me, this concept of a phased environmental impact statement is still trying to wrap my brain around it. I mean, I get it, but so to me, it seems like our first part of our phase of this project is to get the comprehensive plan changed. If that's what takes place, sounds like that's moving forward. Then the next step is a rezone, and to me, it would seem like there'd be another level of scrutiny through the environmental impact because it's phased. I would think, you know, at first we looked at the forest, now we should be looking at the trees, and later looking at the twigs, I guess, as they go to try to develop. Does that make sense? And is that what we're doing? I mean,
well, technically, all we're doing is changing the color of the map, technically. And there is no physical impact. And in reality, I have to agree on the point that until we have an application that has a specific development application with building, parking, utilities, all that sort of thing, it's difficult to measure the extent of the impact and therefore what mitigation or what reduction of the work would be required to meet or discharge those impacts. It's you just can't get specific enough to seek real answers without a real project. Now, you know, you anticipate, and I think the EIS does raise potential issues related to flooding, traffic, wetland impacts, so on and so forth. But until we know what it is that is being brought to the site, you can't quantify what those impacts are. It's a bit of a catch-22.
So is that the same? I know that currently it's a church and four houses are allowed. So it's something that would have to take place if they were going to try to move forward with, say, a project like that. They would have to go through that type of scrutiny.
Yes.
And that's the level that they would do it at, or that's the point in the process is when they submit for development?
Right.
Is that normally how it goes?
Yes. And let me see. Any project, virtually any project, is going to trigger a supplemental EIS. It's going to have to get into a lot more detail than what this first one has, depending on the scope of the project. It could be quite a complex, and I envision that it may well be a pretty complex supplemental EIS to address the issues.
Okay. Thank you.
Would you like me to look at that?
Pardon me?
Would you like me to look at that?
Sure. I was trying to get to open up PowerPoint or Explorer.
Commissioners, any other questions at this point? Davey, you think you're close?
Give me about 30 seconds.
Okay. Thank you for your patience, folks.
Got one. Okay. Got to get the screen up. Connected. Did we connect?
Oh.
zip drive?
Let me just right click on this.
Right click on what?
The start button down there.
Right click on left.
Go to explore.
There you go.
Oh, here it is. Bear with us, we're almost there.
I know the feeling.
You should just, you'll scroll down to the left-hand column, follow and find your drive.
Here it is.
There is one of those.
This one.
There we go.
Yep.
Eureka. There we go. I remember when I used to carry a spare bulb from my carousel slide projector. It was, seemed like that was a little easier. Okay. Here's the proposal. The that area where the general commercial is what is being put forward for rezoning that has been, like I said, on first reading with the council approved for the land use change from limited open space or LOS to general commercial. This takes out the area of shoreline here, which will remain in open space. And of course, it does not include this. This is the last parcel before we get city limits. This is not a part of the proposal. Quick word about Highway 2. Here's our property. This is a roundabout that will happen if and when this US 2 bypass is built. DOT will build a roundabout at that point. And any development on this property, virtually any kind of development beyond a church and four homes, will most likely trigger a roundabout about here that would provide access to the north and then west into the property. When I say would likely trigger, certainly any kind of major development project would trigger the roundabout. It's subject to DOT review, but the only way that they will allow access is via a frontage road that comes to the east end of the screen with a roundabout. Virtually any level of development will cause that to happen because of the amount of traffic that is projected to enter and exit from Highway 2. There will not be a traffic signal. It will be a roundabout. We can come back to this maybe a little bit later if we have some more discussion, but these are the general kinds of uses that are, these are the uses that are permitted in general commercial. Theoretically, any of these things could be built on that property if it's approved. In reality, the cost of purchasing, developing the property, making it buildable is going to eliminate anything but, I think, a fairly major user or combination of users that will bring some return on the investment of cost to get something built. But theoretically, there are a number of things that could happen. And then I thought we could also have a discussion maybe after public hearing about some potential options for what the actions that the commission may choose to take tonight. So with that, if there aren't any other questions, I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Commissioners? Commissioner Horst.
Paul, can you go back to the options screen there? Thank you.
Yes.
The word after recommendation on third bullet point, I think it is 2. Is that right? It's hidden by the
Yeah, 4. No, I just noticed that.
So,
yeah, second dot's approval to match the comp plan. There was approval with recommendation for gateway overlay zoning
I guess there's a fourth option, if I may, which would be to recommend delaying the rezoning until such time as a more detailed proposal is brought forth. That's a possibility.
So there's only, I think, a couple of words in the proposed text changes for the comp plan amendment itself, and that is Gateway Vision, if I remember correctly, or something to that effect. If nowhere in the comprehensive plan today or in the proposed changes to the land use element is Gateway Vision, or Gateway Zone for that matter, defined, how would we recommend a gateway overlay zone when there's nothing in the comprehensive plan that supports it?
I believe that this council could initiate a comp plan change at any time. And there has been some discussion, brief, some discussion of gateway, some kind of gateway overlay or gateway zoning. And that, I think, would be a something initiated by the council to consider changing the text and developing a zoning body of a mechanism of some sort for gateway zoning in reaction to East Monroe, and as you recall, we also have on the books some plans to look at West Monroe, the Freilands Boulevard, Roosevelt Highway 2 area for potential changes in use or changes that might result from Lake Tide projects or possible future development within the industrial park. So there are at least two. Then there's the third, the southwest entrance, which has some area in the urban growth area south of town. Those are the three main gateways into the community. I think there is some not concern, but awareness and desire to address in some way these gateway areas, which could involve things like land use, things as high level as land use, or what's permitted, down to detail, some things like even signage, streetscape, lighting, design standards for buildings, site development, so on and so forth. But there is nothing on the books now that is triggering that. That's correct.
So would there have to be something on the books then before we recommended it, the gateway overlay zoning? Would it not be a recommendation for a hold on the rezone and a suggestion or recommendation that the comp plan be amended to develop the gateway overlay zone? Afterwards, then the rezone would come back and be acted on?
I think the commission is in a position to, as a possible option, is to delay rezoning and recommend to council that we develop a gateway, address the gateway issues as a part of both a comp plan and zoning process, which could begin any time. Council doesn't have to wait until the end of July to initiate once a year. We can initiate any time. But I think that's a valid option. Let's say deny, approve, or something in between. You know, the staff's recommendation is approval with the rezoning, just strictly on the basis of being consistent with the comp plan. You know, if you consider it within those narrow parameters, that's where we're at with this. But I believe something like a recommendation for delaying and considering gateway is another strategy that could preclude zoning. It would put us in a position that, no, the zoning is inconsistent, but we're working on the issue. We're working on it by doing these other changes.
And just to take that one step further, if I may, Paul, and appreciate the explanation. If that were done, obviously, going back to the comp plan and amending to include the gateway overlay zone section or definition, perhaps, that would delay the rezone, obviously. Could the applicant not come in and just say, no, I want my rezone now? And then would the city not be in a position kind of having to act on it based on what you said earlier?
I'm not sure. That's almost becoming a legal question. I believe that it's possible that the city could say, no, we're, you know, here's a scope of work, here's a schedule, and we're going to complete this process, and then we will act on the rezoning. But, like I say, there's no mandate from the state that says be consistent within this time frame. So that may be a unintended consequence or a loophole. But I like having that sort of flexibility.
Thank you. That's all for now.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions?
I have one question. Could you go to the next one up with the zoning changes? The color one?
I'm sorry?
The color?
Big color.
There you go. This one. This general commercial area, isn't that the wetlands on the right-hand side on the east side?
Yeah, it is. Yes. It's full of water.
The old river ran through the east corner, right through there, somewhere.
The river is now, or the stream, not really loops around. I want to say through here or over here. What you're seeing in red is really that entire area. That red color does not respect wetlands and buffers and critical areas. This respects the shoreline area, but in reality, what could be developed is most likely essentially limited to the dark green.
Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, I think at some point, both the green and the red was all going to be going general commercial, and
right.
Which I didn't have a problem with as far as pulling that out or leaving it in, because in my opinion, I think our shoreline master plan does a good job of, say, protecting those areas. So to me, it didn't really need to be pulled out. But yeah, I'm sure there's areas in there that quite a bit of that red is not
right.
Touchable. They just thought, well, we'll pull out this, we'll pull out that. Maybe that'll
do it. I'll give you the math. That this red in general commercial area is about 50 acres. The dark green buildable areas that you see, those three areas, one very small one, one in the east, and the church property, total is about 25 acres. There's 18 acres on the church property to the west. And on the Kreutz property to the east, where you have that strange shaped green area, is about 7 acres for a total of about 25 acres. So about roughly half the land is not buildable because of wetlands, critical areas, and buffer areas.
Yeah.
So it's a little misleading in terms of this color. Council, in fact, took the shoreline area out of the land use request when they approved it last year.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Then I will open this up for public testimony. I have four people on the list here. If you didn't get your name on the list, we will allow for that too. It just makes it easier for us to keep track. When I call your name, go ahead and come up to the podium. We'll have you state your name and address for the record. I have an oath that I need to administer, and then you can give your testimony. I don't have the timer. I don't think I'll need it tonight, but we'll try to keep it, if you could, keep your comments to limited to 5 minutes. And then each person will have one chance to speak, and one at a time. So the first name on our list is Mr. Lowell Anderson.
Lowell Anderson, 129 East Rivermont Drive, Monroe, Washington.
Thank you. Do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
To save some time, I'm not going to read our letter of June 6th into the record. I think you've all had a chance to read it. I will submit it to Kim. Mr. Rogers can't be here tonight, so I'll do double duty. So what we've generated, or what we'd like to know, is that we have a list of questions. Questions originally were for the city council. We met with two council members. They did not have any answers for our questions, but I think that they're worthwhile. And they start out by asking, the proposed rezone would create a small general commercial island in East Monroe, surrounded by limited open space and residential property. From the city council's perspective, what are the implications, consequences, creating a general commercial island in East Monroe? That's the 18 acres that you saw back there. So of that property, you have a little 18-acre spot that you want to go ahead and build on. The problem that I have, or one of the many problems, is the front-end costs. I'm afraid that the way this has been pushed through, the city will be obligated to pay part of or all of the front-end costs, which are in the millions, at least $10 million and maybe more. I'd like you to consider that. Second, I'm not going to submit these questions, but I'm only going to read two or three of them. The applicant's proposal submittals are sketchy at best and fail to address many issues identified by prior city staff, raising questions as to what is the city's motivation behind the rezone. See, what they did is they put a little paragraph in, said this is a request for a change in land use designation only. No specific construction is proposed at this time, so the proposal will have no significant impacts on the public health, safety, and welfare. So we know absolutely nothing about what they're going to do, and they run it all the way through. 7 pages of questions were unanswered. The third thing, as adjoining property owners, we fail to understand the city's initial determination that a rezone comprehensive plan amendment does raise significant environmental impacts, 11 to be exact, and then does an about face and proceeds with the phased EIS. We don't understand that. I'd like somebody to answer that question. And then the EIS says one sentence, and you go through the whole thing. This action in and of itself does not have any environmental impact. For 30 pages, that's our environmental impact. Has the city considered the property tax assessment issues associated with the proposed rezone, including an increase in assessment on the subject property, that, and a decrease on affected adjoining property owners, about 6 dozen houses. So we'll lose probably $50,000 to $100,000 each. And who will ultimately be accountable in the event there are untoward environmental impacts, such as serious slides affecting properties along the bluff? That's the question I'd like to have answered, but I probably never will until it happens. And last, the current limited open space zoning seems to be more than appropriate for the subject property, given the numerous critical areas and limited or no access to public facilities and services. Once again, why the rezone? I'd like to submit this letter of June 6th to Kim, and also questions that I would like answered at some point from somebody that we haven't had any thus far. And thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
For me, anyway.
Commissioners, any questions? Thank you, Ms. Reynolds. All right, next on our list, I have Mr. Chad McCammon.
Questions.
And if you could give us your name and address for the record, please.
Chad McCammon, 21624 Calvin Road.
And do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
It is the truth because it's completely unprepared and it's just coming off of the top of my head. I've come into these meetings with some PowerPoints before, with some written documents I've tried to read, and you've heard a lot of what I would have to say, so I'm not going to reiterate all that. I want to look at this from another viewpoint, and that would be the viewpoint of the common citizen of Monroe. And zoning of properties it's to protect the entire public. It's to protect everybody that lives in the city. And that property is clearly in a floodplain, not on the most current map, but it's in the floodplain on two maps that have been issued since, just not adopted. Its flood elevation is below the floodplain elevation. It's connected to the river by some large culverts, which can't be turned off. I've seen it underwater, 5-6 feet underwater, and you know, I've only lived here 10-12 years. So if we think it's in the public, you know, the general public's best interest to build on a property like that and have to contend with potential flood cleanup later on down the road, then it makes perfect sense to build there. If not, if we don't want to end up on the news like 4 or 5 years ago, Chehalis' Walmart and some other properties that built in similar types of areas, I recommend that we would not go ahead with the rezone. The only potential way to take care of the flood issues would be to build it up about 8 feet or so, which is going to push flood water up and down along the Skycomish River onto the Ben Howard Road and maybe into downtown Monroe. So, you know, the environmental impact statement, I feel, really is inadequate because it doesn't address anything that goes in there is going to have those types of issues that has to take care of the flooding. So, you know, I think it should address some of that. But we also have to address the general public's traffic issues. Do we want to become more like Salton and Gold Bar? You can't even tell when you leave one city and make it to the next city. It's just continual traffic. It can take, I've spent an hour to get from Skycomish to Monroe on the weekend just because of urban sprawl. And creating a roundabout with a lot of traffic in it is going to just create gridlock at that intersection. I don't know any way around that. And I understand that, you know, the Washington State Department of Transportation would prefer a roundabout because they feel it's safer, but entering a busy roundabout is dangerous, in my opinion. You know, most people don't understand how to drive in them, and it can cause a lot of its own issues. But I think, you know, the other thing is, I've heard before that it's the property owner's right to do this that would be taking something away from him, which is not a fact. We're not taking anything away. He has what he bought, which is limited open space. That's what he purchased. So we would be giving him something, not taking something from him. The people being taken away from are the property owners on Bluff, the general public that has to put up with added taxes to maintain extra utilities that are extended out to that property, extra flood cleanup measures, extra time in their lives to get east of the mountains. So if we feel that it's in the best of the public, general public's interest, then I guess it's a good idea, but I just don't understand it. I don't see it. I feel like pushing this through ahead of the comp plan changes is really getting the cart before the horse also. That's just kind of my thoughts and feelings on it, and I appreciate everyone's time. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions?
Okay. Can I have my bottle of water?
Thank you. Next on our list is Mr. Douglas Hammer. Your name and address for the record, please.
It's Doug Hammer, 21122 Calvin Road.
Great, and do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
The applicant for this rezone has stated that the Army Corps of Engineers has a very simple method for allowing commercial development of this property while retaining its flood storage capacity. They didn't offer any details on what that method would be. I asked both the Army Corps of Engineers and the Department of Ecology if they knew what the applicant might be referring to. They did not. Now, I would guess that they're imagining a large retention, a detention pond. But this is an old oxbow of the river. The water table is only a few feet below the surface, and such a pond would fill with water long before the floodwaters ever arrived. Rezoning this property to general commercial would violate Monroe's municipal code, in my opinion, as I read it. And open the door to legal action against the city by a developer. The municipal code reads, this is 14.01.150 floodways, section D. In areas with base flood elevations, but in which regulatory floodway has not been designated, no new construction, substantial improvements, or other development, including fill, shall be permitted within zones A1-30 and AE on the community's flood insurance rate map, unless it is demonstrated that the cumulative effect of the proposed development, when combined with all other existing and anticipated development, will not increase the water surface elevation of the base flood more than 1 foot at any point within the community. Now, the city has ignored repeated requests by citizens and the Department of Ecology to update the environmental information for this property, which is a clear violation of WAC 365-195-900, the requirement that cities use the best available science when making these kinds of decisions. It's also inconsistent with full disclosure. Instead, the city is relying on old maps and pretending this property is not within Zone AE, 100-year floodplain of FEMA's flood insurance map, when it, in fact, is. The applicant has not demonstrated in any way, shape, or form that the cumulative effect of the proposed development, when combined with all other existing and anticipated development, will not increase the water surface elevation of the base flood more than 1 foot at any point within the community. If the city persists in seeing this as a project-specific requirement, they should explain how any commercial development of this property will not involve new construction or other development, including fill, as stipulated in Monroe's Municipal Code. Also in Code 20.04.050, Section B, the city may attach conditions to a permit or approval for a proposal so long as, number three, the mitigation measures included in such conditions are reasonable and capable of being accomplished. At this point, the city has no idea whether the mitigation measures needed for this property to conform to 14.01.510, the idea of the municipal code I was just talking about, are indeed reasonable and capable of being accomplished. Approving this rezone is essentially guaranteeing a future developer that they are, leaving the city exposed to legal action when the Army Corps of Engineers looks at the property and says, I don't think so. Now, I know some of you see this property, this as a property rights issue, and you are free to see it that way from your own personal vantage point or a moral perspective. I'm just going to kind of reiterate what Chad said a minute ago. But it is not a property rights issue in any legal or legislative standard. The Growth Management Act reads, property rights, private property, shall not be taken for public use without just compensation having been made. The property rights of landowners shall be protected from arbitrary and discriminatory actions. If the rezone of this property is denied, the owners will have exactly the same options for developing the property they had when they bought it. Nothing taken, nothing arbitrary or discriminatory in that. But if you were sticking to the property rights angle, I'd like to present my own equally liberal, but eminently more realistic interpretation, I think, of property rights issued here. The property rights that will fall victim to arbitrary and discriminatory action if this rezone is approved will be those of the 40 neighboring landowners. The air and light pollution and the noise and visual clutter of the commercial development on this property will affect a substantial loss of value for the homes of these families. For myself, the real value of my property is the view. The house is a never updated 1961 Wrangler in need of a new roof. Transforming the view from a verdant valley to a big box store and gas stations will be devastating. A rezone of this property will amount to a redistribution of wealth, $4 million in home value at least, from the 40 families along the ridge and turn into $3 million in profit for one institution, albeit a church. For me, it's hard to see family values in that equation. Suppose I bought an empty lot across the street from your house, intending to build a house of my own, just as the Baptist Fellowship bought the property below me, intending to build a church on it. Then suppose I discovered the property will not accommodate a large enough septic drain field for the 5-bedroom house my wife and my family need. Oops, should have looked into it a little more carefully before I bought the property. I don't know for sure why the Baptist Fellowship have changed their minds about building a church, but let's assume they discovered the environmental issues, lack of services, and problems of accessibility persuaded them would be far more costly than they anticipated. Oops, they should have looked into that a little more closely. What to do? I decide to resell the property. I don't get any offers to my liking. Everybody's a little more cautious than I was. The Baptist Fellowship also offers. Tried to resell the property. They didn't get any offers to their liking, apparently. I decide the solution is to get the city to rezone the property as commercial so I can sell it to 7-Eleven for a handsome profit. Everybody's happy, right? I've exercised my property right. And you now have a 7-Eleven right across the street with accompanying gangs of young people, trash and traffic, and the occasional holdup. Lots of excitement. But hey, it is a convenience store right in your neighborhood, and it's actually more consistent with Monroe's comprehensive plan than Tripp proposal is. Now, I don't know the Minnicks. I don't have anything against them. I don't begrudge their desire to avoid taking a financial hit on their investment. Who among us would want that for ourselves? I don't. I just think what they see as good reason for Monroe to do this rezone come out of a bias on their part that is not backed up by the reality on the ground. At least not nearly as well as my own biases on the subject. And I don't think they have stopped to think outside the box, the big box in this case. This property could be one of the nicest and most accessible wildlife refuges and salmon recovery projects in the state. Physically, the slough that courses the property is nearly identical to the Groenbelt slough and other salmon recovery projects up the river near Sultan. Connecting to Alpoland Park with a footbridge over Highway 2, this use of the property would mesh perfectly with Monroe's comprehensive plan and be far more advantageous for Monroe's economy, downtown economy, than a giant leach a mile down the road where drivers are delayed by two roundabouts within 13 feet of each other will be saying, get me out of here. Instead, imagine drivers passing the wildlife refuge and saying, wow, that looks really nice. How do I get there? Go through Alboa Park. How do I get to Alboa Park? Go right into downtown Monroe. This would bring a steady stream of unique customers into Monroe. And I don't mean unique as in a bunch of bird watchers and nature freaks, although that might be the case as well. I mean customers that would be unique and would not come to Monroe otherwise. If this was the proposal on the table, I'm sure you would have individuals, organizations throughout the state and nationally stepping up to collectively buy out the Minnicks. Would they get $3 million profit out of it? Not likely. But I'm sure they could negotiate a return on their investment and they would have an awesome legacy in the bargain. Now I'd like to submit this calendar into the record. It's a calendar that I made entirely photographs of, taken from my property, almost the same spot, of looking down on this area that's to be rezoned. And I think it illustrates the incredibly beautiful scene that's going to be trashed if this thing does get rezoned. Anyway, I thank you for your attention. I know I don't have 5 minutes. I'm sorry about that, but anyway.
Commissioners, any questions? Thank you, Mr. Hammer. Next we have Mr. Bob Martin.
My address is 103 Redmont Drive East in New York.
And you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth, if so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Luce. I hope that the Commission had a chance to read my previous letter, which outlined a number of concerns I had about this proposal some time ago. I'm not going to reiterate those in detail. Summarizing, my primary concerns were what I consider to be unavoidable environmental impacts as a result of a potential commercial development on this site. I just don't think there's any way to avoid water impacts from any development there. The impact on other commercial properties in the city of Monroe, the potential risk to the city citizens for utilities primarily extended out to that site, either upfront costs or maintenance costs associated with it. And what I want to focus on is this notion of the gateway, or a gateway on the east end of Monroe. This property is permanently separated from the city of Monroe geographically. It cannot be contiguous with the city of Monroe. The only result, in my opinion, of development of this property will be encouraging future commercial development going to the east from the property. What's to prevent that? It's not city property, it's going to be the county, unless the city chooses to annex it. But there's nothing preventing it from going to the east. So what is envisioned as a gateway, I suppose, becomes a gateway that the city limits assault. So it'll just be a strip center all the way along the highway. The city has an opportunity to keep what I consider to be a more appropriate gateway to the city, which is a rural agricultural site, which has high impact environmental consequences with it, and have a gateway, if there's going to be a gateway, at the physical location of the entrance to the city. So this whole thing just seems to me to have been a predetermined outcome fitting the city and city staff, city council, fitting the requirements of the comprehensive plan and environmental impact statement to a predetermined outcome. I think we all feared that from the beginning. That was expressed from the beginning, and it's happened. So by the logic that seems to be prevalent here, all a property owner has to do is to propose a rezone. They get the rezone subject to some sort of specific development proposal. So all they have to do is not define what that's going to be. They just propose it. City goes ahead and grants it. Then they come in with a specific proposal, and the city's hands are tied in terms of what they can do with it. It's just the wrong outcome for this property. So that's all I had to say.
Right. Mr. Martin, commissioners, any questions?
Question, Bob. The letter that you referred to was that from March of this year?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that did not have a chance to get their name on the list that would like to address the Planning Commission on this issue tonight? Seeing no hands, I... Oh, sorry, ma'am. Come on up. You could give us your name and address for the record, please.
Darlene Wolf, Satzer 21608 Calhoun Road, Monroe. And I live directly above the driveway.
Okay, do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm right above the driveway. And the I've been there since 68. And I've seen the water over that driveway numerous times. It just rolls in there, and it just rolls across that whole area. It's ditched, and the people had to go by boat. They had to be rescued by helicopter. It's just a water area. It's groundwater. They've had horses down there. They can pop it around in the muck down there. I've seen the muck and stuff. I mean, just water. Just that creek, it overflows. That creek, there's a creek comes from the river, goes under the road, swings around, falls below the bluff, and swings on back around, goes into the river. And when the river comes up, that water just rolls. When it's high, it just rolls in there. It's a definite wetland area. Floodplain, it is. But it is.
Thank you very much. Commissioner, any questions? All right, is there anyone else wishing to address the Planning Commission? All right. With that, I would entertain a motion to close the public testimony portion of the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Christensen, I believe. Seconded by Commissioner Demarest. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Commissioner, any questions or comments before we close the public hearing? Thank you. none, I guess I would entertain a motion to close the public hearing then.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Sherwood, seconded by Commissioner Rodland. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Commissioners, any comments at this point or questions?
Well, I'm there as another comment, but I will let anyone else comment first if I'd like to.
Well, if you're going to, let's say go ahead.
Thank you. I'm struggling with a couple things on this. One, I think everyone knows here how I feel about this application. I think my vote on the comprehensive plan amendment when it was before us a month and a half or so ago made that pretty clear. I have many of the same concerns with this rezone. And maybe in light of the options that are being presented to us tonight by staff, by Paul, those concerns are even more expanded. And perhaps I'm more confused. I don't think I'm confused about my basic feelings on this. The idea of the gateway. This property is isolated. I think it's isolated. I've heard public testimony saying it's isolated. I don't know what a gateway is, but in my mind, everything that a gateway isn't is represented by this property right here. There's no way in the world that I could ever believe that this could be a gateway to the city of Monroe in a commercial manner. And I think it's important to add that commercial manner. You have nature preserve, church, low-density residential, you know, those aren't gateway in my mind. And those aren't gateways in my mind, but there are uses that's allowed out there. Commercial, this would be isolated, it would be an island, it would, and I can't help but agree with the gentleman who said, it would in no way be in the public's, Monroe's public's best interest, the citizens of Monroe. I can't see how it would be. I don't see how we go now back to developing a gateway and make this work. In that I don't believe it could ever be a gateway. I don't know how I could vote for that. You know, we've heard about concerns expressed about the floodplains. We've heard comments in the past and not seeing about no apparent need for this general commercially zoned property. We've heard about the environmental constraints. We've heard about the concerns with DOT and access. Now, like I read in the Herald today, there was a discussion in the Herald about the proposed changes on West Bickford where it intersects with Highway 2, and the state DOT was quoted as saying, we want to have a mile between intersections. Now, they were talking 1,300 feet between intersections. I think a traffic circle would be considered an intersection. It should be if it's not. So I don't even see how we move toward the direction of what DOT is wanting to do with this road, like by having a traffic circle out here. I've said before, and I disagree with my fellow commissioners on this whole issue of property rights and takings. I don't see how a refusal to support an upzone amounts to a takings. As was so succinctly put earlier, they have what they bought and they continue to do with it that they could have done with it anytime over the last X number of years. There's many takings, and certainly in my mind, this is not a takings by not upzoning it. And certainly a general commercial change is an upzone. So I guess the bottom line is that regardless of how I feel about the process that's gotten to us this evening, regardless of how I feel about the EIS and what I think are some inadequacies with it, I'm going to vote against this rezone. I struggle with that because I'm being told by staff that we almost have to approve a rezone once the comp plan amendment is made. And yet, on the other hand, I'm hearing from staff that maybe we don't, because denial is on the list, other options are on the list, but in my mind, none of them make any sense except for the denial. And so that's where I'm going to go. I'm certainly open to hearing from my fellow commissioners.
Thank you. Commissioners?
I would like to address that part of it where we were talking about taking. When I made a statement on this whole thing a month ago or so, what I was referring to is a taking a way of their right to process. Going through the process of taking their property and going through the process to get a result. I was not talking about anybody taking their properties. So I just want to make that clear that that's what I was referring to, is taking away their right to process. Okay?
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. Okay. Any other commissioners at this point? Commissioner Rodman?
Yes. Commercial property, since the beginning this came up, the city of Monroe has commercial property right now. They're sitting vacant, many of them. And I don't see where this is going to help take care of our empty ones already. We have empty property that's owned commercial. We have empty buildings that's owned commercial, many of them. And I don't see this going to help a bit. I have to agree with Dave. I'm not happy with this. And roundabout on Highway 2, we just had one foot and sold. What a mess. So I'm not for that either. That's all.
Anyone else?
I have a comment about the...
Commissioner Tuttle?
That, I agree with about the, I think the doing the, trying to define an overlay for a gateway is a nice idea, but I don't think there's any way that that's going to stay the end of Monroe. So I don't really see that one option as a real viable option. I think there are a lot of issues going on here, but we voted a no. No action. We came up with a recommendation of no action. We've already discussed all the different things about flooding, and it's the highway department's job to determine whether or not what the safety issues are. And it will be the developer's job to mitigate any of those other issues. And if that property can't sell because we have commercial property sitting empty already, that doesn't matter to me. That's the applicant's problem if they can't sell it. So I don't know where we are with a time frame on trying to bring the zoning into compliance with the comprehensive plan, but if the council has decided to go ahead and amend the comprehensive plan and the zoning needs to be in compliance, then I don't see how that's not going to happen. So it would be nice to ask them to make it some kind of gateway thing, but I just don't really see how that would work. So I don't think that's going to be the end of Monroe, so it seems silly to even spend time doing that. Yeah, that is all.
Thank you. Commissioner Devers?
I'd just like to expand on that end of Monroe a little bit. Commissioner Tuttle has commented on. I had lunch with an old friend of mine, a past client, someone who's totally uninvolved with this property. Lowell Anderson knows him. He's been in front of this commission in past years and done things with the city here. And sometimes I argue, I don't know whether Ben is being serious or not, but he said, I'll just do it. He said, really, you should go out to the Red Barn, go to Calvin Road. I said, well, Ben, then they're going to want to take the next 60 acres lease that a gentleman by the name of Mark Bend owns. He's going to want that to come in too. He said, let it come in. Go all the way to Sultan. Well, obviously he was overstating when he said go all the way to Sultan. Maybe the only thing that I think about as I think about his comments is the last place the city of Monroe needs to be expanding is along Highway 2. Look what that got Sultan. You know, look what it got us up here. We need to expand as time goes by. We need to have the potential for expansion. But we've got the southwest corner. We've got perhaps up to the north. Highway 2 frontage is not the place in my mind to do it, because we will just end up being a long Highway 9. Stay away from it and don't open the door.
Thank you. I'll jump in here now, I guess. Anybody who was here at the last public hearing knows my opinion on the matter. I think it should have been left limited open space, but I've been trying to keep a proper perspective of what my position is in relation to city council and ICS as a body that recommends, and they are the decision makers. And I see partly where staff is coming from. There's two different questions here. One is, should it be designated as limited open space? I said no. City Council said, should it be designated to general commercial? I said it should stay limited open space. They said to change to general commercial. And the next question really isn't, are you sure? It's more one way to look at it is, should the zoning be in compliance? If that's the only question, then I would say yes, it needs to be in compliance. But there's some other things that are happening here too. And one is the issue with the environmental impact statement. To me, that's not done. So while I would say it should be in compliance, I think it's premature to put it in compliance right now. I think there's some answers that are still needed for this property. I'm not to a point of voting for denial, because I don't consider myself one to just kind of make a protest vote, but I think there's still some issues. I would definitely support a delayed approval or delay the decision even until more of these questions are answered on this environmental impact statement. I think it's kind of strange that we could continue to move forward and still have all these questions unanswered. What if things come back and they say it's just going to be too much of an impact? Does it get reversed? I mean, that's what I would think would be the result. It's too much of an environmental impact. It's going to be too much of a negative impact on the community, so it should stay limited open space, I would think, would be the conclusion of that. So to me, I'd say it's on hold, but that's my opinion. So in an effort not to be a protest vote, I'm not going to necessarily vote for denial, but I certainly can't vote for just approving it. It should be in compliance, but there's too many issues that still yet to be decided. There's some things that need to be figured out. So I would recommend a delay until the environmental impact statement has been settled, and then look at it again.
I have a question about that. Thank you. From what you were saying before, it didn't sound like the environmental impact statement would reverse it. It would change the mitigation of the development. Did I misunderstand what you were saying? It wouldn't cause a reversal of the comp plan amendment, would it? Or would it?
No.
Because I was listening for that, but I didn't hear you say that.
I don't believe it would trigger a reversal of the comp plan amendment in any way. What the appeal could trigger is perhaps some speculation, but more detail about how impacts could be mitigated. But for example, I was looking at the EIS, and one point that was written, one section talks about if this is redesignated general commercial comp plan and rezoned for commercial development, the action, changing the comp plan, changing the zoning, changing the color of the map, literally, does not have any environmental impact. It's a paper exercise. But it goes on to say that future development that would be entitled or could happen as a result of that change may result in unavoidable adverse impacts. It talks about impervious surface area, habitat, flooding, stormwater, traffic, the views from the neighbors, increased demand for public utilities and services. So there are, by definition, unavoidable impacts. So then the other part of the equation becomes, does the EIS adequately address potential mitigation of these, what I see is defined as potential impacts? But That does not affect the action on the compound. They are two separate actions. And what might come out of this appeal is more detail or a clearer explanation, or I'll say speculation of how the impacts might be mitigated. But a couple quick points, but we had some pretty good speakers here tonight. Mr. Hamer quoted rightfully, very correctly, out of the municipal code, but that's a good example. In this case, in terms of flooding, before any development could take place, the applicant would have to demonstrate by a very detailed and expensive hydrological study that the proposed development, whatever it might be, would not unduly impact flooding by raising the base elevation flood, that base flood elevation. That really does have to be documented and proven and mitigated before they can proceed with actual development. Now, it's science. It's not politics, it's science. I think the same holds true of other impacts that, in a sense, anything is possible if you spend enough time and enough money, you can make it work. And this project is going to take quite a bit of time, quite a bit of expense to both define and then actually physically mitigate the impacts on the site. But there's an awful lot of things that would have to be addressed before they could build. And, rezoning doesn't guarantee anything. It entitles the property to commercial zoning, but it does not. You still have to meet the codes. You still have to address the impacts. And it becomes much more detailed and much more legitimate, I guess you would say, if, with a specific application that creates these impacts, A, B, C, D, and these kinds of quantities. And if it can't be mitigated, then there has to be some reduction in the scope of the problem.
So the bottom line is that the rezone, the zoning still needs to come into compliance with the comprehensive plan no matter what the appeal says at some point.
Yes.
Thank you. And to me, changing the color on the map is more than just changing the color on the map. It's giving a green light to the next step, which is development. Now, I understand there's development restrictions or some things that have to be met before development can take place, but this is more than, to me, this is more than just a color change on the map. In my mind, how I see this is just to clarify my position. It is not a let's wait and go ahead and rezone this after this is dealt with. It's let's make a decision after the environmental impact statement has been dealt with. And I don't want to try to. We have to give a recommendation to council, and I want to give them a good recommendation. And if I could sit down and talk with each one of them, I'd say, I think you should wait until this environmental impact statement comes in, and then if it comes in as bad as I personally think it is going to be, maybe reconsider the whole process. And it's not a matter of me wanting really necessarily get my way or wanting to vote the way my opinion. I'm not that stubborn. I just, I would hope that, maybe, I don't know what the motivation for all of them was, Maybe there's some things that they didn't consider, or maybe there's some things that, in light of this process on this environmental impact statement, they may say, well, I have a second thought about this now. So for me, I think, my position is no decision should be made until after that's complete, and then take a look at deciding it, not wait until then and then approve it. That's where I'm at on this process, because it's, I think it's pretty important. Commissioner Christensen?
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused. I'm not dead set against delaying the decision, but I think I heard Paul say something earlier in his presentation that it could be delayed due or wait till some kind of project is defined. Is that what I heard you say, Paul?
Well, theoretically,
a better idea what the project might be.
Theoretically, it could be delayed until there's some motion toward or some movement toward a specific project. But that's a bit of a catch-22, because applicants may not be interested in spending the money to think about an application without having it rezoned or entitled.
Okay, that's where my confusion came in, because if it's not rezoned yet, and then you have a hard time deciding what your project's, you know.
Right.
How that's going to come out. So you're right, it's a catch-22.
The gateway zoning could potentially address some of the possible issues about what could be developed there. But in itself, you know, this gateway zoning is not going to solve the problems. I mean, it could lessen the impact visually and so forth, but entitling it to commercial does. You know, changing the color of the map has no impact, really, in and of itself. But it does open the door to development, which does have impacts. So it creates the potential for impacts. You know, it gives me the right to pursue development on that property as a developer.
And that's where, if I say, yeah, I'm all for a delay, what I'm trying to do is figure out what is that delay till what? And if we're delaying just a delay, then I don't see the reason for the delay. Does that make sense?
It does. And I know you're talking at the bit, aren't you? I'm going to jump in one more time here. The thing that I remember, and I don't remember all the details, but when the applicant came here, or the applicant's representative was here and spoke to us, and I don't remember if it was when it was, we were looking at docketing about a year and a half ago, but at some point he had talked about, and I don't want to misquote him, so I'm going to be real general, studies that could be done that I think he believed would show that development at a commercial level is possible. Environmentally and flood-wise and all that. And I believe I remember asking him, well, would you be willing to have those studies done to put people's mind at ease so we could, you know, move forward with this? And he understandably said, well, why would we want to spend the money if there's not the political will behind the project? And I can completely understand that. I believe at this point there's been a demonstration of political will for the project, and I'm not saying he should go out and spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on studies to prove every little scenario, but I could see, you know, it might be nice for them to meet halfway and say, this is a scenario we're going to consider, this is a highly likely situation. General Commercial has a list of proposed items that they could maybe choose what they believe it's going to be, and at least get some preliminary studies done, even if it's not fully conclusive, but at least something that could at least talk about what would have to be done, if it was even possible, and at that point come back and start making a decision. I don't know if that's something we would necessarily recommend, but I think, in my mind, if we want a definition of how long should it be delayed for, I think this environmental impact statement, in my opinion, having that settled, or the appeal at least dealt with, and possibly having some more detail on what kind of project they're looking at doing, at a minimum, in my mind, for sitting down again and looking at possibly moving forward with the rezone. To me, I think it's worth delaying. And I think it's a justifiable delay. even with state requirement for being in compliance. I think having a legitimate reason for a delay, I think it's a legitimate one, and I think it's worthwhile. And so I would support that. Commissioner Demers?
Sure, why not?
Thanks for waiting.
I don't think there's any point in waiting for a project. I mean, the applicant has the property up for sale, as I understand. I don't know that they're the ones specifically looking to do the development. And what they want to do is be able to sell general commercial zone property. They've been advertising that over the last year and a half or so. Chairman Lutz, as you pointed out, we make recommendations. And I don't want to minimize what we do, because I think we do a lot here, but we kind of have the easy vote in that all it is a recommendation. I wasn't very happy a month and a half ago when we made a no recommendation vote. I thought we wimped out. And I don't think that's our job. On the other hand, I don't think that even if we believe that something's going to go a certain direction or have a fairly strong feeling it's going to go a certain direction in council, even if we have that belief, for us to vote against it, I don't believe that that's a protest vote either. Now, I think a protest vote is derogatory. And I don't like to think that that's what we would be doing. I'd rather think that we would be voting what we believe and what our conscience as a planning commissioner, as a group of layperson planners believe, having gone through this process. And again, having the easier vote to make, and I put that in quotation marks, and that's only a recommendation, not a final vote. I'm prepared to make a motion, unless there's further discussion.
Let's open that up. Commissioner Christensen?
I'd like to make just one comment. I think it's a derogatory comment that to say we meant out. So I just want that on the record.
Fair enough.
I have a question. So at the end of the appeal, if it's decided that we need to know more about the environmental impacts, Is it something that's generally done where a council will go back and say we're going to reverse our decision on voluntarily change our minds on a comp plan amendment? Because that's just the part that I'm not getting clear about. Mm-hmm. Because the follow-up thing to that is I don't want to delay just to delay either. If there's inevitability, I'm sorry, I'm a little more pragmatic. Then let's just do it. If all that extra study is going to do is make more mitigation, that's fine. That's great. Then everything needs to be done properly into code and all of that. But I just don't see the point of delaying if that's the inevitable. However, if there's a possibility that we're going to learn some information that will change the previous decision, great. Then I would be all in favor of waiting. Because I think that's important. So, where are we at on changing the comp plan amendment that's already been voted on?
Go ahead. Thank you.
I have no idea what's going to come out of the appeal of the EIS. Right. There could be changes. It could bring to light the. It could bring those impacts up in a different light. But of course, that hearing is not until July 19th. The council has, on first reading, approved the comp plan. They could potentially delay the second and final reading of the comp plan pending the EIS. But they seem to be on track to approve the actions. I think the only way that it could possibly influence the comp plan decisions, the second reason, was to be if council delayed it until the EIS was heard, and if there are any issues coming out of that.
So could we make a recommendation to do that? Could we recommend to council to wait on their second reading until the appeal is resolved? Could that be our recommendation? Or is that not on the table with our list of options for tonight?
I don't think you can take that action on the comp plan since this is about the rezoning.
Okay.
I would agree. I understand what you're saying, and I would agree that that would be part of this recommendation, but I think the commission before has kind of created their own recommendations at times, kind of separate from a public hearing. We've, you know, in the meeting said, hey, I think let's have staff, you know, bring up to the council, this is what planning commission talked about and they would like this. So I think we can make it as a separate motion to end the evening, I would guess.
If we had an intention of doing that, then I might have to think about doing the delaying. But if we don't have an intention of doing that, I have no intention of just dragging it out until God knows when for who knows why.
Right, and I understand and can appreciate that. And I personally believe that my motivation is, again, not to try to, you know, tell the council what to do, but recommend appropriately what we do. I mean, that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And to try to do it well, I would like them to be able to pause at this point and wait for this this appeal before they approve, or which we can make a motion for, or even if they did approve, maybe reconsider that approval and go back. I don't know. But
and how would that be communicated to them?
If we made a motion tonight, I think we could have staff communicate that. Is it?
I'm not sure procedurally. If I just don't know if you can make a motion, but you can certainly, by consensus, instruct the staff. Me to take that message to council that your real interest is in delaying the zoning until the EIS is resolved and delaying the comp plan as well, since it may bring up other issues that
we are concerned
could cause a change.
Great, and I
carry that message.
Thank you, and that's my motivation. Quite frankly, is I'd like to tell the council, hey, we think you need to wait on this until then. That's why we're voting the way we are. One thing I'll jump in on is when I made the comment about a protest vote, that was strictly for myself.
I understand.
I hope it didn't come across as judgmental for anybody else, because that was not my intention.
I'm not sure how much credence council will give that. Frankly, I don't know that the EIS is going to change all that much. I mean, it does set forth unavoidable impacts. I'm not sure it's going to change anything. But
that's okay.
We can certainly put it out there to say, hey, let's consider waiting until EIS is complete and then come back for final action.
Yeah, I don't want to. I can't necessarily disagree with your position, but I don't want to just make an assumption and at least
council
throw it out there. And
council can also choose to take final action on July 10th for comp plan and rezoning.
Right. And there will be a public hearing prior to their second reading, or at least a night of. Is that correct? Am I understanding?
The public hearing 1 week from tomorrow, 19th, which is specifically about the text amendments for the three comp plans. There would not probably be another public hearing regarding the rezoning.
Right.
And there is not another public hearing about the comp plan amendments themselves, other than for the text amendment.
All right, thank you. Mr. Demers?
I seem to hear two discussions going on here. One, it seems either we have to do something on this action item before us this evening that's been the subject of this public hearing. And two, then a suggestion perhaps that would follow that action, whatever it may be, that council maybe want to hold off until such and such happens. Is that a fair summary of what's being discussed?
I think so. I say I can't. I'm not sure procedurally you can make a motion on something that is.
No, but if we do choose to delay because we know that commentary would be carried over, then okay. We're not going to delay just to delay.
Certainly, there's nothing that precludes us as a commission from either having those that are supporting a motion explain the reasons why for the record, or those who are dissenting on the motion to explain their reasons for dissenting.
Right.
And that then would be carried forward as a package to council, taking care of the procedural question, I think.
And I can incorporate that into a staff report that's to be done this week for just for their information. They will take action on it in that regard, but it could be documented that way.
Yeah, so you understand Bridget's concern that it be communicated as soon as possible.
I do, but I also understand the concern that some action be taken with regard to the proposal in front of us this evening.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing that says council has to follow that information from us. Right. Or any part of it. Or they can pick and choose. I'm prepared to make a motion if there's no further discussion.
Well, let's find out. Anybody else with any comments this evening?
With regard to RZ 2012-02 East Monroe Economic Development Group rezone, I'd like to make a motion that the City Council deny the rezone.
Okay. Mm. Is there a second for that motion?
Thank you. All right, second. Can we change that? The approval, the yes.
Yeah, I appreciate the suggestion, but I don't think that's necessary because they can do whatever they want. This is not binding on them.
That's true.
Oh, sorry. All right. There's been a motion for denial by Commissioner Demers, seconded by Commissioner Rothman. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
And I will be the first to comment the reason I voted not to deny, because I'm very close to denial on this. My opinion of it has not changed. I'm wanting to, in my personal opinion, respect the process that I believe is a different question. My opinion on the first question has not changed. I still think it should be designated limited open space, but I want to have a reason for denial other than I disagree with how the comprehensive plan went. And that is, as I stated earlier, I would like to see a delay on the decision on zoning until some more questions have been answered, specifically on the environmental impact statement and taking a very close look at what real impacts are made on that. And like, I would like council to take a second look at that. So we are at a place where we need either a different motion. I don't know if the same one would work. So I certainly would entertain a motion if someone would like to give one, possibly for a delay. That was the druthers or flat out approval. I wonder if somebody would like to word that. I believe I can make a motion, is that correct? No one else does?
I believe so.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I think I'll do that. Keep things rolling here.
We can have the audience make a motion for us.
Yeah, they're very willing. Understandably. Then I will make a motion myself that the Planning Commission recommend that the City Council delay a rezone decision on this property for RZ 2012-02 until the environmental impact statement appeal has been brought forth and those and that report has come from the hearing examiner. And then at that point, I would like them to make a decision. Does that make sense? Any questions on that motion?
I appreciate and understand where you're going with that and where the concerns are. I don't see how that is a recommendation in and of itself. I would think that it would either need to be a recommendation for, but suggested that it be delayed, or a recommendation against, but suggested that the decision be delayed, rather than no comment on the action itself, but only a recommendation to delay.
I can agree. I can understand that. I think I can word this. Then I will modify my motion to say that I would recommend that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council denial of the rezone RZ 2012-02 until the BIS has been process has gone through on the appeal, and the hearing examiner has concluded and sent out his report. Does that make sense? Is that clear as mud?
Better.
So we go from your recommendation is to delay pending the results of the EIS, and then it would revert back to for a council action, but not back to the Planning Commission.
You changed it to deny.
I did change it to deny. I did change it to deny because the environmental impact statement has not been included.
So we can simplify.
And jump me on. Jump in with me on that.
So help me a little bit here.
You're saying that if the hearing examiner heard the appeal on the EIS and had no substantive comments to that EIS, that then this would flip-flop into a recommendation for approval? Maybe that was a little bit loose.
No, it's okay. I know what I want, and it's just a matter of trying to figure out what's the best way to word it.
Trying not to
be involved. I appreciate that.
It could come back to the Planning Commission for a final recommendation after the hearing examiner, but my guess is that council's not going to want to delay that long with their final action.
Yeah, we have a bit of a track record of stretching things out. Not intentionally, I will point out. Not intentionally.
That would be a logical way to come to a final conclusion from the commission.
Yeah.
Paul. Okay, so what we're doing right now is making a recommendation on whether or not to bring the zoning into compliance with the comprehensive plan. This isn't really about whether or not you agree or I agree or anybody agrees with the action that's been taken. It's about compliance or non-compliance at this point. So I feel like we can recommend denial or approval, and then that's the recommendation, but there's a caveat that can be made by staff and communicated to the city council that has nothing to do with this recommendation. That's kind of what I'm understanding, which is why I think the motions are sort of falling flat. So like I said, I am in favor of bringing the zoning into compliance with the comprehensive plan. I would also like the city council to know that I personally, and I think other people here, feel like the EIS, all of that should be resolved before they go ahead with their final reading. However, we don't have any power to force that. It's just something we want them to know. So I'm not saying you agree with me. I'm just saying for me, I feel like I need to vote for the zoning to be in compliance with the comprehensive plan amendment that's already in motion. That's for the issues are for the council to decide. After all the conversation tonight, that's where I think I'm landing, unless I hear something else. Yeah, I'll go ahead and scratch my two motions because I think if Commissioner Christensen made a comment that I would have to agree with. I think making a recommendation with no action is not that horrible. And I think making a recommendation for delayed decision is a legitimate recommendation, and I think it's one that might garner support on a consensus level. I could be wrong, but I will restate my motion back to its original or something close to it. Now, I would like the Planning Commission, I make a motion that the Planning Commission recommend to City Council to delay decision on this rezone until
The appeal of the environmental impact statement has been completed, and the hearing examiner has made his created a report on that.
So that's what
you call it. Rendered his decision or completed his ruling or. What do you call that?
I mean,
concluded his finding.
Concluded his findings.
Issued his findings.
Thank you. I would say that, and yes, I believe we can make a recommendation that they delay decision, because last time we made a recommendation of no recommendation. So I believe we have the option to do that if we so like. So that is my motion. Is there any questions on that? Is it clear?
So does your motion include approval or denial?
It just says delay, which we have done. I think we did on Roosevelt Road. We wanted to delay until there was a traffic study. And I'm making the same type of motion now, that we delay decision, or that I recommend the council delay decision until the hearing examiner has filed his report. Of those conclusions. Commissioner Demers?
So in other words, we won't be making any recommendation ourselves in either you or me for this.
You can look at it that way.
Okay.
Yes. And that's... Just I don't feel I can make a early decision because I feel that, sure, I'd love to be able to have it come back to us. I don't think it will. But I'm not in a position to say yes or no at this point, because I do believe it is a different question than the original question that was asked 6 weeks ago. But I don't feel comfortable approving, and I would like a decision delayed because I would like the council to take a. I would recommend to the council they take a closer look at it when that EIS is complete. Is anybody willing to make a second on that motion, as cloudy as it is? With no second, I guess I will have to pull that. Is there anybody wanting to make a motion of their own?
Mr. Chairman, I also one other comment that I'm not sure if this could affect any thinking, but there's also the potential of an appeal of the comp plan action to the state hearings board, the growth hearings board at state level. That's a direct appeal to the hearings board from council action by anyone who would like to appeal that decision, not the zoning, but the comp plan.
Well, let me ask you this, just out of curiosity, more than anything else. So if that were to happen, what kind of ruling could the state take? Because that would be at the state level. Could they basically overturn the council's decision on that and say, no, you're going to keep it at limited open space in your comprehensive plan? Or I'm just not familiar with what.
I guess I'm not as familiar with either, but the results part of that process. There's a period of 60 days after the final action, actually after the publication of the Compliment Ordinance, where it could be appealed. And I believe the board may have up to like 180 days to, I shouldn't even say this, I'm not sure. But the results of their decision on the appeal could certainly affect the comp plan action. If it's found to not be consistent, or if it's found to be inappropriate for whatever reason, he would probably trigger, at the very least, I would guess, some sort of change to the comp plan to bring it into greater consistency with the request. But frankly, I'm not sure how it comes out of the execution end of the appeal process there.
Commissioner Demers?
And the clock for that opportunity to happen can't begin until the city's taken final action on the comp plan amendment, is that correct?
And publish the ordinance. 60 days beginning at that point. I believe the ordinance is published about 5 days after the council vote. So, for example, if they vote on July 10th, I think it would be published by the 15th. actually would be published the 7 days later, Tuesday, in the Monroe Monitor. That's when the 60-day clock starts.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, did your motion die for lack of a second?
It did die for lack of a second.
May I try?
I'm open to anything.
I'd like to make a motion that we recommend to City Council that they delay any action on this until such time as the appeal on the environmental impact statement has been completed, and if they choose to not postpone action or delay action, that they deny at this point.
That's very concise, thank you. Is there a second? I'll make a second.
Okay.
Excuse me. Can I make a second on the motion?
Can you read that back?
Pardon me?
You have something? Can you read that back? The motion?
The motion that Dave just said?
Did you get that?
I'm sure I got it all.
Do you want me to paraphrase it?
The PC recommend delaying any action on this until such time that the hearing examiner? That's where I was lost.
Okay. Council, delay any action on this rezoning request until such time as the appeal on the environmental review process is completed. If they choose to not delay, that they deny.
If they choose not to delay, then they deny.
Yes. If they go forward with action before that process is complete, they deny the rezoning.
I will support that. So I will second that. So the motion was made by Commissioner Demers, seconded by Commissioner Lutz. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
3-3.
So it has died for lack of a
again
majority. So we'll be back to a no action. Commissioners, any other comments? Some have been very quiet.
I will comment that if there's no action tonight, it's not a wimpy result because we've got a whole lot more time.
We
could have tried. But I hope that we don't end up there.
Commissioner Schroeder, do you have any comments on that? I don't mean to call you out, but I am.
Well, all right. We're focused on the appeal of the phased EIS. And it's a difficult situation because you're asking someone to answer questions that have yet to be asked. And won't be asked until we get to the project level. So if one person judges that the phased EIS that is a record is inadequate, that's one person's opinion. I believe the work that's been done has called out all of the various computations and permutations that affect this property in regards to sensitive area issues, transportation, utilities, all of those things. So I don't believe that focusing on what this hearing examiner does is meaningful. And also, if a decision is made that more work needs to be done, then we have to accommodate the timetable of whatever corrections, additions, changes. And if that pushes the council into a time frame that's unacceptable as far as a deadline on this comprehensive plan amendment and rezone, then that puts them in a difficult position in regards to making their decision. I believe I would rather favor recommending that we say make the zoning consistent with the comprehensive plan. They made a very definitive decision immediately after we gave them the recommendation, and I believe that it would be of service to them to do that. And there are many, many more processes that must be followed before anything can happen on this property. And so I believe the protections of which everybody spoke tonight remain in place. And I guess I would agree more philosophically with what Paul said, that changing the color of the map doesn't make anything happen. It certainly creates the possibility that something could happen. But we all know it's going to be expensive, and those who know the 7-Eleven is going to cost them $10 million to mitigate. That's just silly. So the market is going to take care of a lot of the concerns that have been raised. And it may be 20 years from now, if we're still around, we'll drive by there and there's a field. That possibility, I see that as being a very real possibility. But I'm of record that the critical area issues have been more than adequately addressed in all of the documentation. And as far as setbacks, wetlands, shoreline designations, all of that is been accommodated. I mean, it's of record. And a lot of it, you can go to the county records and find it. So those protections are in place, and I would move right now that we recommend to the council that they bring the zoning in compliance with the comprehensive plan.
Second.
Okay. There's a motion by, I believe that was by Commissioner Sherwood, is that correct?
Yes.
Seconded by Commissioner Tuttle. Any further discussion?
Yes.
Commissioner Roth.
If we approve this, and they approve this, is that going to deny them to go back and build a church and a housing on a commercial zone only? It probably will deny that, too.
No houses would be fine.
Yeah. Right. So if you go that route, they're going to ruin the floor. Either they can't get anybody to go commercial, it's just going to sit there in open space, which that's fine to do.
Thank you. Commissioner
Gomez. I'll be voting against this motion for the simple reason I said earlier. As strongly as I opposed the comp plan amendment, I don't see how the council's approval of the comp plan amendment can change my feelings about the property just to bring it in compliance. So that's the reason at this point of my upcoming vote on this motion.
Thank you, and I will make a quick comment before we take a vote. I also will be voting against this. It's not as a protest vote, because this is not a vote of absolute denial, but I certainly can't just flat out approve it. So anyway, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Well, I think we are at a point where, as hard as we try, we may have to resort to our last decision of a recommendation of no recommendation. As strange as that sounds.
And I'd like to add to that, and it wasn't for a lack of trying. I mean, numerous motions were raised, numerous motions were seconded, and numerous times we came to split votes on those motions, unable to go unanimously in one direction or the other. So while it may have been no recommendation, it's certainly not, and it's not a decision that had no thought behind it. And I think the council will take all of that into consideration as they go forward to wrestle with this.
Commissioner Rodman.
One other comment to make is this probably wouldn't happen if we had another person on the floor here. Would take care of that.
Yeah. I also agree with that.
Commissioner
Christensen.
Along with the no recommendation, can we have staff also carry the our thoughts on this as to our discussion tonight as to why we came to this stalemate.
Thank you.
I'd appreciate that.
I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
But do you understand why?
Well, we do have a consensus, I think, that we won't be making a recommendation. We don't have a motion yet.
I make a motion that we send a recommendation of no recommendation to the City Council on RZ 2012-02.
I'm going to make a protest.
there a second? For well, I will make a second, I guess, on that. That we are not making any action, recommending no action, I guess, is what it is, or not no action, it's no recommendation from the Commissioner
Miller. And I will vote for this motion because clearly we are deadlocked, and if it were a court trial, the judge would be throwing us all out and starting over again, perhaps. And there's no other, in my mind, resolution for us to reach this evening other than the motion is on the table.
I agree. Any further discussion? So did you get the motion in the second, Kim?
I was going to ask, Bill, that they, the motion to recommend to City Council that they make
their own decision?
Or that you're recommending a no recommendation?
There's no recommendation from Planning Commission.
From Planning Commission, okay.
That's it. Thank you. And I still second that. Commissioner Lewis does. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. The one dissenter was Commissioner Tuttle. Did you want to give any explanation?
I already did.
That's fine.
It's a protest vote.
Excellent. All right. Well, we are down to comments from commissioners and staff, I believe.
Excuse me, Chairman.
Yes,
we need to make a motion for extension of the meeting.
Oh, thank you.
I'll make the motion to extend it past 9 o'clock.
Motion made by Commissioner Demmer, seconded by Commissioner Sherwood to extend the meeting past 9 o'clock. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Anything?
A couple of things. In terms of what's happening, there are a couple of rezonings that appear to be coming down the pike. One is 20 acres in the southeast corner of the Roosevelt Road area of that property, immediately west, adjacent to I believe it's Bear Mountain and Phillips Ridge Drive, the western line of foothills. A lot of that 20 acres is in wetlands. They're proposing to do a single-family lot subdivision. But I've had one meeting, and they seem pretty intent on applying for a rezone of that 20 acres, which in my mind would then trigger a rezone of the remaining Roosevelt Road area.
That's the one we had in front of us a few months ago.
Yes.
And recommended delaying until we got the housing study and traffic study stuff.
Right.
So,
is that 20 acres of 70? Is that the total?
It's about 40. Is it 70 or 80 acres total?
Yeah.
71, I think. This is the southeast.
70 acres.
A rectilinear north-south 20 acres. The other is up on Chain Lane Road off of Mountain Ridge. I believe there's three lots that were changed in the comp plan to R8 to 11.
Senior housing.
And the comp plan passed, this was back in 2009, I believe, with the intent that it be developed as assisted living or single family, or I think one other. The plan was for assisted living. And then it was rezoned with the condition that it be assisted living, basically. And subject to a development agreement. Plan agreement was never recorded. So the zoning is invalid. So the current zoning stands. But the comp plan is valid. And I think that there's a new owner of the middle of three lots. The bank owns the north lot and the south lot, and local developer owns the center portion. But he's going to bring forth a rezone, which I believe would trigger, I think the city would have to turn around and add the bank-owned lots to that rezone request to avoid spot zoning.
Paul, wasn't there a comp plan amendment that facilitated that or enabled that?
Yes.
And wouldn't it require a further comp plan amendment to undo it?
No. I mean, the comp plan amendment stands, and this is based on legal opinion. But the zoning does not, since the development agreement, which included the, which was referenced and conditioned in the zoning ordinance, was never recorded.
So then is the underlying zoning or the zoning they'll be requesting R4, which is what that area was previously designated?
I'm not sure what the current zoning is. I mean, actually, the zoning never changed.
So it's R4?
Legally. So I guess it would be R4 if that was the underlying zone. But the comp plan, the land use, is still the R8 and 11. The comp plan amendment is still valid, is in force. The zoning went away, but the comp plan did not.
I have some recollection of that, and it seemed to me that when that comp plan amendment was done, wasn't there language included that it said if it did not get rezoned and developed at that higher intensity use, that special use, it would have to stay at the R4? And you say they're asking for a rezone. What are they wanting to rezone to?
The multifamily MR 6000, which is what the zone it would have been had the development agreement been put in place. It would have been for the MR 6000 with assisted living as a condition.
I think the only reason that the MR 6000 got approved in the comp plan was because it was limited to senior type housing.
Yes.
And so specifically to preclude someone coming in and doing a straight out multifamily development there.
That's going to be an issue. But the comp plan is valid because it did not explicitly condition the comp plan amendment on the assisted living. I guess I'm only kind of inkled it or referred to it, but it was not conditioned as it was in the zoning. That's a legal opinion.
Well, but we can look back at the record. The record speaks pretty loudly on that point because there was a very clear concern expressed that, well, gee, they just will change their mind and come and do a multifamily project up here, and the neighbors were just going through the roof that might happen.
Yeah. And I assume that's why it was done that way in the first place. And I warned them that there's going to be some backlash, most likely, to just zone into a straight MR 6000 or multifamily because of what it does inkle in the complaint. The null basis of it was the conditional zoning. In fact, I was surprised that the conditional zoning, that's just not done in Washington, typically. But I assume that it was to allow assisted living, which is not anywhere near the same impact as a, you know, standard multifamily.
Mm-hmm. It was a compromise.
Right. Right.
Solution.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
I had something like that in another career where assisted living was welcomed and embraced by single family neighbors after zoning battles only lasted 20 years. A couple other quick things. We've had some pre-apps and some pre-apps for the Lake Tai Cable Park, which seems to be going ahead, and I believe tomorrow night council may act on
it. Moved to the next week.
Pre-act for Snohomish County PUD on the property behind Emerald Fitness, north of Tierney. That could be out in a couple of years. They're looking at 5 or 6 sites around the county to build new facilities, including this one in Monroe. Let's see what else.
Did have to extend that road.
Wait. Yeah.
The gym that just came, they're wanting to move?
No. There's property east or behind the Emerald City Fitness.
And then what's that?
A lot. And PUD is looking at that lot.
Oh, PUD is looking at
that. Right.
Taylor Grove Attorney. Right across from the where the quiz was.
They'd have to extend.
Yeah,
right. They would not have to extend Attorney all the way.
No.
But, you know.
Not to get to it.
they could possibly do it without it. Although they would love it if the city would extend it. And the city would have had any money. And Eternia is the number one project on the list of transportation improvements that's coming up tomorrow night.
Sorry, are they going to be moving from the location they're in downtown?
Eventually, yeah. Yeah.
Just remodeled.
Got a couple of smaller mixed-use things in the downtown district. I'm not sure if anything will come up either one. And I mentioned the rezoning. The next core is actively pursuing. I think they'll be coming in for us an informal review fairly soon.
They need a rezone on that?
No.
Oh, I thought I heard you say they're approved for a rezone.
No. I think I said they touched on those rezones. But no, the property's entitled for XCOR. It's just building permits and development plans. So there's been a fair amount of activity lately. And quite a number of smaller things, you know, tenant improvements, signs, business licenses. There's been a pickup in the pace of all those things the last couple months. Okay.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Tuttle, anything?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Rodman?
No.
Commissioner Christensen?
Nothing.
Commissioner Sherwood?
No.
Commissioner Demers?
Never has this commission had so many split votes. And it goes exactly to that empty seat. It perplexes me to no end that it's still vacant. Something needs to happen.
There's communication in. That called me today and wanted to know if anybody's heard about his application for it and had or not.
I heard someone could apply.
Yeah. We also have
Ken Booker.
Diane back here. Dirksen is interested. Yeah. Maybe applying, so I gave her the book. That's really, you know, planning commission.
I have been reading it.
Municipal code.
That's exciting.
We haven't scared her away.
Hasn't yet, she's here.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. Well, I don't have anything. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Don't everybody.
Go ahead. Motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion made by Commissioner Demers, seconded by Commissioner Christensen. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed?
Thank you. I've never seen.